Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm so glad to be here addressing you this morning on the radio, to be able to spend a little bit of time, start the week off in a wonderful and blessed way, just meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His mercies. I'm just loving y'all today as much as old folks love Cracker Barrel. And thank you for tuning in. If you're a return listener, we hope that you'll continue to listen. And if this is your first time, I hope and pray that you'll feel compelled and led of the Spirit to tune in frequently. Please contact us by our website, www.gospel-of-grace.com. You'll find previously preached messages, frequently asked questions. There's a Primitive Baptist Church locator on there. Lots of resources. And you can contact us if you have something you would like to tell us you agree with, or if you would like to express something that you disagree with. We welcome your comments and would love to enter into a discourse with you if appropriate. So contact us. Come and visit our churches. I endeavor to pastor Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. Just a sweet, loving, and humble group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in simple worship because we simply believe in the prevailing and successful grace of Jesus Christ in salvation. I also invite you, on behalf of my good friend and yoke partner in this ministry, Elder David Wise, who is the good and learned pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman, Mississippi. They also meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, would absolutely adore to have you. They would treat you so richly. And we also meet together every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. Come on in. Take up a book. We have congregational singing, a good scriptural message, and then we break bread and visit together. So we invite you cordially to come and be with us. If you will, stay tuned, and after this hymn, we'll be back with this morning's message. Thank you, my friends, for staying tuned. Again, I'm Joe Nettles. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel of Grace broadcast. And if you will, crack open that wonderful, beautiful, glorious, preserved, and infallible 1611 King James translation. And let's go to the epistle of 1 Peter. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and the Apostle Peter, writing of the inspiration of the Spirit of God, uses a very striking phrase in this epistle. He speaks about the preaching of the gospel, that it's in great power, and that it's preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And he says, of this blessedness that we enjoy here in the New Testament church, he said, which things the angels desire to look into. Which things the angels desire to look into. That is a very striking phrase. And Lord, being my helper, I would like to focus on and meditate upon some of the things in the Word of God that the angels desire to look into. Now, you may think, well, that's very odd. Many people don't even believe in angels. In days of old, the Sadducees, who were claimers of believers in Jehovah God, they did not believe in angelic beings and supernatural powers. Many people today, they doubt it. They scoff. Oh, angels, that silliness. But even people who do believe in angels, they have very many preconceived notions that will not line up with the Word of God. But there is one thing for certain. Angels are astoundingly powerful. In one night, the Assyrian army lost 185,000 soldiers by the power of one angel that was sent with the wrath of God. Angels are very powerful. They're very mysterious. They're supernatural. They're around us according to the Word of God, but yet we do not most of the time perceive them. And very, very powerful creatures. And you would stop and think, well, how in the world could we in any way be superior to them? How is it that they want and desire to look into, that is, they have an acute interest in, they have a longing and a yearning for the things that we mortal men enjoy in Jesus Christ? And that's what I want to look at. My friends, we are mortal men, but we are the children of the Son of Man. You know, people always wonder, are there space aliens out there in the universe? Well, I don't know if there are or not. I really don't believe that there are. But if they are, my friends, I see absolutely no indication in the Word of God that they fall under the blood of the redemption of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is for men by the Son of Man. And so we want to look at these things that really are real, and those are angels, and see how is it that we are superior unto them in the mind and the devotion of the Lord. First off, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to see that the angels desire to look into our kinship with Jesus Christ. That's right, my friends. When Jesus Christ gave us a model prayer which to pray, it began, "Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Isn't it wonderful to be able to address the Almighty God as our Father? Well, the only reason he's the everlasting Father is because he has an everlasting Son, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, it's our privilege. Brother John wrote in his epistle that it was such an astounding joy that we could be called the sons of God. But see, the angels don't share that kinship. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we read about the angels. Here, the Apostle Paul, whom I believe was the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, is establishing the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ over angels. And he declares in Hebrews 1, 4 and 5, "...being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." You see, God does not address the angelic beings in a familial way. He does not address them as sons and children as he does us, his redeemed. Isn't that astounding? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate." To what? To what end were we predestined or predestinated? "To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's right. The book of Hebrews, it said, he is not ashamed to be called our brother. Isn't that good news today? That is amazing. And I believe that's something that the angels truly and earnestly desire to look into. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50, we see in this context where Mary and the brothers of Jesus Christ have come to see him. This is Mary, his mother, and his literal half-brothers. Now, Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. His brethren, Jude being one of them, and James, they were conceived of Joseph. Well, here they come to see Jesus Christ. The disciples come and say, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, ready to see thee." And in Hebrew, and in, Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50, the Lord Christ answers, "But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Oh, what a joy it is to be in the family of Almighty God and to not just be begrudgingly looked at as the redheaded stepchild. No, like Mephibosheth of old, being brought to the table and enjoying all of the fullness of the sons of David. So we enjoy the fullness as being the sons of God. Another thing the angels desire to look into is that they do not have, according to the word of God that I've been able to find, they do not have an inner abiding of God and an inner revelation of God. God has created them to be servants, ministering servants unto those who shall be heirs of grace, my friends. But I do not find in the word of God where God indwells in them. You know, we over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, I believe it is, he refers to Christ in us, the hope of glory. You see, God dwells in his people. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is in you. You see, so God indwells his people, but I do not see the same being said for the angels. And I know the angels must really desire to look into that, because I believe the Lord speaks to them objectively and they obey. But yet they do not have the expression of Almighty God that we enjoy in the Holy Spirit or in the inner revelation that he has implanted in every born again human being. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, here he's speaking about how the Holy Spirit has moved men to write the scriptures, moved men to prophesy. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, we read, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify." See, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. "When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ." So here, the Spirit of Christ was not only in them in the Old Testament, it was also testifying to them of Jesus Christ. Did they know him by name? No, they didn't. But they knew him because he dwelt within them. "When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." See, that's our text today. And he's teaching there that the Holy Ghost has moved in men and revealed in men some of the precious, wonderful, spiritual truths of God. And this is something truly that the angels desire to look into. Jesus Christ prayed, we see recorded in John chapter 17. Here Jesus Christ, as our high priest, is praying unto his Father. And in verse 23, he prays, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." So what is he declaring there? He's saying, for all the ones whom I love them and God loves them as much as God loves his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And also coupled together with that is the inner revelation. He said, "I in them." Jesus Christ is in me. Jesus Christ is not in every human creature, my friends, but those that are born again of the Spirit of God, into them who have the Spirit of adoption, that Spirit of Christ that we read about over in 1 Peter. My friends, these are things that the angels desire to look into. Another thing we can see the angels desire to look into is that man has been given a special dominion. Now, what do I mean by that? It means when the Bible refers to the future world of heaven, And my friends, I certainly do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ is ever going to set another toe upon this earth. We are going to be called up to meet him in the air. He will return in this atmosphere because it will begin to part and burn and be consumed upon his arrival in all of his glory. I do not believe he's coming down here to set up a 1,000-year earthly, terrestrial, millennial reign. No, my friends, but he is coming back to carry his children home and to judge the wicked, and he'll do that all in one day according to the plain precepts and teachings of the New Testament scriptures. But my friends, we as children of God have a dominion. Notice over in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, that means we have a status more powerful and more precious than the angels will in heaven. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, God also bearing them witness, talking about those who had manifested these special supernatural signs in the early church. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles. And notice this, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Where does that Holy Ghost testify? He testifies in us, within us. That goes right hand in hand with the point we made before about an inner revelation that the angels do not enjoy. But we go on. I digress. He said, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will, for unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Angels, which are around us, invisible, and just we can't perceive around us today. They're able to fly, they're able to slay, they're able to move, they're able to work in astounding supernatural ways. But yet the word is very implicit that they will not have dominion over us in glory. You know, the angels really have to look into that. They must look down upon us, these weak human beings that we are. We can't even make a banana sandwich the way we'd want to. I mean, my friends, we vote for the wrong people and we watch the wrong things and we say the wrong things. And, you know, people call them Freudian slips. I just call it being a sinner. We say things in error because we're fallen creatures. And you know, the angelic beings must look at us and say, oh man, who art thou that our Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that eternal Son of Man, would pay attention and give credence unto you? But yet, praise God, he does. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul is condemning the church at Corinth for suing other church members, brothers and sisters in the church, going before the civil magistrates and courts of law. And he condemns them by saying, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? There's a lot can be unpacked from that passage of scripture, but for time's sake, I want you to understand something. In the world to come, we will rule angels. They will not rule us. Why? Because we will be fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God of all, the King and great and only potentate. Another thing the angels desire to look into, undoubtedly, is that Jesus Christ came into this world to share with us a common nature. We go to Hebrews chapter 2 to prove this point. And the inspired writer in Hebrews chapter 2, let me turn over to it lest I misquote it. But over in Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 through 18. Here speaking about Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh. Now again, we've told you before, when we were offensive unto God, you see, God could satisfy, but he couldn't suffer. Man could suffer, on the other hand, but he could not satisfy. That's why it took Jesus Christ, who was all God and all man, one who could both suffer and satisfy. And to do that, he took not upon him the nature of angels, but as of the children of Abraham, flesh and blood, like as we are, but yet without sin. Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Oh, there's that kinship. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them, that is, comfort them, console them that are tempted. You know, the angels really have to look into this. Now, my friends, compared to the pristine perfection and supernatural glory of angels, they must look at us who have to take a bath every day so we don't stink. They look at us who have to get our hair cut. They look at us where reports come out talking about how nasty men's beards get. I mean, they must look at us and think, why, Lord? Really? Seriously, Lord, why? Why? They desire to look into why we are so precious unto God that when he came to save his people, he inhabited flesh. Rather than take upon himself the nature of angels, he inhabited flesh, my friends. God did that. Invaded time. Took upon himself this veil of flesh, being all man and all God, and he vanquished the foe, and he won our redemption. Praise his holy name today. And the angels must look and say, he took upon himself that? He took that flesh upon himself? How can this be, O Lord? How could this be, O Ancient of Days? You know, I've got a son, and he lives in Starkville right now. He just took a job in Memphis. We'll soon be relocating up there. But say I had to go to Starkville, where he's living now, and I needed to spend the night. And he found out I was going to spend the night. And he called me and said, Dad, I want you to come to my apartment and spend the night with me. And I told him, no, son, I've heard about there's this old child molester. There's this filthy, diseased, leprous, smelly, violent. He curses all the time. He lives in a cardboard box or lives in a van down by the river or whatever the case may be. And I think I'm going to go stay with him. My son would think I was tetched. And that means crazy. He would say, Dad, what in the world are you going to stay with that reprobate for? My friends, if you think about it, that's the condescension of the Almighty God. That doesn't even begin to compare with the condescension of the Almighty God inhabiting flesh, coming to this earth, giving up his riches that we, by his poverty, be made rich. Oh, my friends, the angels, I believe, certainly desire to look into that. You know, another thing the angels desire to look into is that when God chose to give an emblematic order that conveyed the picture, the living picture, between him and his love for his bride, you notice he did not choose angels. No. Angels, according to Matthew chapter 22, you can go and read it for yourself, verses 29 through 32, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. He said, we will not either in the resurrection. I have a wife and I love her very dearly. I'm very jealous over her. But in heaven, we will have a different dynamic. We'll have a different relationship. I'll love her far greater in a more pure and powerful way in heaven than I ever could down here. But it will be with a pure love and it will be with as much love as I love every other kindred in Christ in heaven. Isn't that astounding? But yet, when it comes to our relationships down here, the very first institution that the Lord established was marriage. One man, one woman. Those two became one flesh. And he did that according to Ephesians chapter 5 and in other places to represent the relationship between himself and his bride, Jesus Christ being our great husbandman. Oh, my friends, angels do not procreate with people. Angels do not procreate. And I don't care what anyone says. You go over to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I don't have time to expound upon it now, but that is not talking about angels procreating with human women. And if you have questions about that, you just write me via our website, gospel-of-grace.com. Maybe I'll get around to preaching about it on the radio one day, but balderdash and poppycock. My friends, the last thing we want to close with today about those things the angels desire to look into is they desire to look into grace. You see, my friends, if the angels disobey, if the angels rebel, we know what happened to them. They were reserved in chains of darkness. They've been cast out. But those angels that are dwelling with the Lord, my friends, I don't believe that they are able to experience grace like we pitiful fallen creatures have been able to experience. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 reads, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard,
lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, notice that, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice there, he correlates angels with the law of God. Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Again, a correlation between angels and that rigid, unforgiving law of Almighty God. Acts 7:53, as Stephen was there condemning the Jews who had crucified Jesus Christ in his great sermon, called them betrayers and murderers, he went on to say, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. There, a third time in the New Testament, a direct correlation between angels and the law. And this makes sense in the Old Testament too. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. And here in Moses' blessing of Israel, and it says, and he said, this is Deuteronomy 33, 2, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. That's talking about his angels. You go and read over in Jude. He cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And he came with 10,000s of saints, sanctified beings, his angels, from his right hand when a fiery law for them. You see, brothers and sisters, angels perfectly understand law because they know the dynamic is God commands it and they'd better obey. But my friends, even though we are breakers of the law, even though we'd fallen and polluted in Adam, that great federal head lawbreaker, brothers and sisters, the grace of Almighty God, he has extended and covered his elect of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. Oh, my friends, if the angels ever desired to look into anything, I know they desire to look into that. Until we're able to meet with you again on the radio, I pray the special grace of the Lord bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the mass of